Good day, friends. We again come to you, and we're dealing with the book of Colossians, the epistle of Paul to the Colossians, chapter 2. We're dealing with a very, very important passage of Scripture, where the Apostle Paul in prison in Rome is writing to these Christians at Colossae. Now, at the city of Colossae, there was a great deal of teaching what is known as the Gnostic heresy, or they were dealing with the various philosophies of men, just like Paul when he faced the Athenians in chapter 17 of Acts. He was dealing with the philosophies of the day. And this is human reasoning. One is reminded of Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the way thereof are the ways of death. And we're dealing now with the fact, in our last lesson, of two or three warnings that Paul gave to these Colossians. First of all, in chapter 2, verse 4, there he warned them concerning them being beguiled by enticing words, where men will take their reasonings and their philosophies and with enticing words seek to draw Christians away from the person and work of Christ. This is being done today, being done practically all over the world. Wherever the gospel has gone, you've had the reasonings of men come along, the various philosophies of men, to try and turn people away from the person of Christ. They'll even take the words of Scripture and coin their own philosophy into it to detract you from the person of Christ. Remember that God has hidden in Christ all his treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. Remember that when you and I accepted the Savior, we received a new life, not a patched-up thing, but a new, entirely new life. Christ is that life. And we were put in Christ. We were joined to Christ. We were united to Christ in an indissoluble union. And Christ must be the center. The philosophies of men do not put Christ the center. In fact, they more or not put men at the center. In fact, we're finding today that the world, taken as a whole, is moving fast toward the deification of man. And once you turn from God, where can you turn? Where can you turn? But man says, I can't know God. How can I know God? My friend, you can. The Word of God, the Bible, is God's revelation to us. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man cannot understand or know the things of the Spirit of God. The foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and from the prudent. Didn't say he'd hid them from the ignorant, but from the wise and the prudent. Reveal them unto babes. As I say in the book of Job, canst thou by searching find God? Where can I find God? In fact, Job cried out, oh, where can I find him? We found him, my friend. We found him. I say with Philip, with Andrew, with John, in John's Gospel chapter 1. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. That's all you need to do. Just come and see. If you have an open heart, if you really, really want to know the truth, I'll tell you, my friend, God is more willing to reveal himself to you than you are to have him revealed. Where can I find God? What is God like? Now the answer is verse 9 of chapter 2 of Colossians. For in him, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Again, allow me to give those scriptures again. May I? In John chapter 1, the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That is pre-incarnation. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Verse 18. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 and 6, what does it say? The God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. You remember in verse 2, God speaks to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image, or the forth shining of his substance. And when you see him, you see God. Now you come to the book of Revelation, he said, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The El Shaddai. That's Abram's God. Isaiah said, God is speaking, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is none other. That's Isaiah. You come to Revelation concerning our Savior. He said, I am the first, I am the last, I have the authority of death and of hell. God has revealed himself, and in Jesus Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as we had it in verse 19. You remember the first chapter, it was pleasing to the Godhead in him all fullness to dwell. Christ is God's antidote to the false philosophies of men. We're found complete in Christ, as the next verse says, and you are complete in him, filled full in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let me just stop here in this 10th verse. Here is no empty speculation, but the incarnate Word of God is the answer of God to all human philosophy, to the traditions of men, to Jewish legalism. In fact, I want to say divine revelation is far superior to any human philosophy that man can reason out. So why turn from divine revelation to human reasoning, when God has already spoken and he's already manifested himself in his blessed Son? All that God is told out in Jesus Christ. God dwelleth permanently in Jesus Christ. So I again say, why follow the reasoning of men when God has revealed himself to us? You can't reason out God, my friend. God must come through revelation. That's through his Son. Then he goes on to say in verse 10, and you are complete in him. You are filled full in him. All believers are in him complete. You remember in John 1:16, on of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. And may I say very frankly, if one desires to add to Christ, if you desire more than Christ, then my friend, you desire more than God. For we are seen in him. He's all that I need. That's why I like such verses as these, like Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:10, you're complete in him. Or take 1 John 4:17, we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Now think about 36 times in the New Testament, it speaks about this union between the believer and the Savior in Christ, Christ in us. Like you have it in John 14:20. And that day when the Spirit of God indwells you, you'll know I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am you. See, we're filled with all the righteousness and the merit, the beauty and the glory of the Son of God. His inheritance has become our inheritance. His righteousness has become our righteousness. All that he is before God is ours. As Corinthians says in chapter 3 at the end of the chapter, all things are yours. Why? Because you're Christ's. Christ is God's. I wish I could put into words where I feel about this. Oh, that we might grow in appreciation of these wonderful things that we have in Christ. See, we're filled full in Him. All that a man or a woman needs to stand in the presence of God is found in Christ. Not in some movement, not in some teaching of man, not in some philosophy that someone has thought out. It's found only in one place, in Christ. That's why He could say to His disciples in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Or you take John 10:9, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So go in and out, find pasture. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What I'm trying to get to your heart today is this fact. All that I need to stand before God is in Christ. I can't improve it. I can't add to it. It's found in Christ, complete. The moment you and I came as sinners and put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we stand before God in all that Christ is before the Father. That's strong language. But my friend, that's the Bible. Am I going to take the reasonings of men, your reasonings or my reasonings in preference to the revelation of God? In fact, if we didn't have this revelation, we wouldn't know God. We wouldn't know about a Savior. We wouldn't know about the divine provision whereby sinners can be made into the children of God. You think about it. In Christ dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why I was singing one of these other broadcasts. God sent His Son into the world for a purpose, the purpose of redemption. Is that all? No. He sent His Son into the world that the world may know what kind of a God we have. When I look at Jesus and His love and His power and His compassion and His tenderness for men and women, His great love for men and women, His great love for you and me, I see the heart of God. Then I know that God loves men and women. God loves you. God loves me. But I can't know Him unless I accept the provision He has made through Jesus Christ. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead body, and we are filled full. All that I need, and I repeat it again, all that I need, all that you need to stand before God, you find in Christ Jesus. We are filled, full, complete in Him. Just like you have in Hebrews 10:14. By the one offering at the cross, He hath perfected forever those whom He hath set apart. And all that I need, and I'm repeating this, all that I need to stand before God is in Christ. He's supreme, but He's also sufficient for my every need. Now, in verse 10, He also says, we are not only complete in Him, but He also is the head of all principality and power. You see, we don't need any other advocate. We don't have to come to God through angels or through any other person. I don't care who they are, what they are. We do not need to come to God through any other person. There is only one way. And Jesus said, I am that way. He's the head over all principalities and powers. Remember, we were reading of that in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the fact. In verse 20, He raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And God hath put unto His feet all things, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all, the complement of Him. See. Then He starts in verse 11. I hope I've made myself clear, by the way. Christ is above all, is over all. And where are you? Where am I? We are in Him. We are in Him. Isn't it a wonderful thing? God never sees you and me apart from His Son. And He always sees us complete in Christ. Always sees us covered with the righteousness of Christ, with the merit of Christ, with the beauty of Christ. All I need for time and eternity is found in Christ Jesus. Oh, I wish, and I say this kindly, oh, that I wish every Christian, everyone who is trusting the Savior, would catch a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Himself. Just think of Him coming down here. He who was in the form of God thought it not a thing to be held onto, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a slave, was found in fashion as a man, and humbled Himself to death, even the death of the cross. And God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow, in heaven, earth, and hell. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All I need then is found in Christ. So when you come to verse 11 and follow it down through, the folly of me trusting all these other things, the folly of trusting some ceremony, some dogma, some creed, some organization, when I have Christ. All I need is Christ. But I wish I knew Him more. I wish I knew more about Him. Not only in my head, but in my whole life. Because He's the one who can transform us. As Paul could say in chapter 1, I give my whole life to one thing. What is it? I strive according to the working of Him who worketh in me mightily. We want to present every man mature in Christ. Now, starting in at verse 11 and down through verse 15, he begins to talk about our union with Christ. Now, he's mentioned the fact that we're complete in Christ. We're filled full in Him in verse 10. But then he takes up some things that seem to step in the way, because it's so easy for people to be occupied with adding to the work of Christ. We're not satisfied with the sufficiency of Christ in all that He has accomplished for us. So we must help the Lord out, you know. So we do it in one way or another, by good works. And I'm not opposed to good works. I'm not opposed to ceremonies. But please don't put these things in addition to the work of Christ. Christ is a complete Savior. He's an all-sufficient Savior. He's a perfect Savior. He's an eternal Savior, and you and I are in Him. Now, verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ones that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you. I read that whole passage for a purpose. It's so easy for us to allow these things to come in and rob us of the joy of the sufficiency that's in Christ Jesus. What I want you to see very, very clearly is that Jesus Christ is an all-sufficient, wonderful, glorious, eternal, perfect Savior to anybody who will come to Him. Christ is all I need. Christ is all you need to stand before Him. How does that affect my life? I want to please Him. You see, He's become my very life. And having become my very life, I want to please Him. I want His life then to be lived out through me and through you. This is not just an intellectual thing. As I said a while ago, truth, spiritual truth, is not just for the intellect alone. It must reach right down to my very life. And if I'm complete in Christ, then all I need is found in the Savior. Ah, what a wonderful thing. I say it again, what a wonderful thing that the moment you and I accepted the Savior, we were transformed into the children of God, indwelled by the Spirit of God, joined to the Savior, and God always sees us perfect, complete, absolutely righteous in His Son. What a Savior. I say again, what a Savior and what a Lord we have. And if I'm talking to anyone listening in today and you've never put your trust in the Lord Jesus, my friend, may I say to you, God, and I say this reverently, God has made a full, complete, eternal provision for you for eternity. All He wants you to do is put your trust in His precious Son. There must be a relationship between you and the Son of God. Not just a mental assent to truth. I'm not talking about that. That may be included. But what I'm talking about is this fact of you and me coming to the Savior just as we are. Just as we are. Not bringing anything but our sins, our frailty, our helplessness. And just come to Him and receive Him. And He not only redeems you and forgives you, as we shall see further in the chapter, but He'll cover you with His own righteousness, and He'll join you eternally, perfectly to His Son. Now may the Lord bless you today, and you accept the Savior, thus pass from death to life.